Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is actually from the gospel assigned for this Sunday, the Gospel of Luke chapter 20, verses 17 through 40. They came to him, that is Jesus, they came to him, the Sadducees, some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question. And these are the words of our text. You may be seated. So this is All Saints, All Hallows, Hallows Day, Hallows Eve, Halloween. It's all a word and a day from the Church of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It is not a fall harvest. It is not a fall festival. It is not a pagan day of the walking dead and zombies and all the rest. It is a day of the Church of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Saints, hallows, holy ones, those made pure by the blood of Christ. And that's why we come together on, well, All Hallows Day, celebrated on the Sunday after. It used to be the day of, November 1st. So there you thought, good old Lutherans that we are, that Halloween was actually Reformation. Well, it was. But it was All Saints' Eve when everything began, even in our church. How appropriate. And how appropriate for us to mark this day and to celebrate and to sing about this day and to call it for what it is, the defeat of death, of sin, of the devil and all the rest. So here we are on All Saints, and yet the pastor takes liberty on this say day set aside to take a text from Luke. Because it is, after all, the text that is assigned for the Sunday after All Saints Day. So it would be, again, a setting that has Jesus again in Jerusalem earlier in the week of his death, of his crucifixion. So there's not much time, and I'm sure there's a buzz in Jerusalem after his triumphal entry, and so Jesus is there, and as he is there, all kinds of people are thronging around him, and so our text begins by this from Luke. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question. Now that should stop us right there. Some Sadducees. I once remembered, yeah, there's Sadducees, there's Pharisees, and there's some other guys, scribes, that's it, that's right. And there are three kind of different, you know, religious factions, religious parties in that, and that's about all we know. And then we go on, well, there's some Sadducees, and they asked him a question. But this should stop us right in our tracks. There were some Sadducees who had a question for Jesus. Now, I don't know if you learned it because you may have had a much better parochial education or whatever than I did. I was much older when I learned, and I think probably from a parochial teacher that told me the way that you remember the word Sadducees is, and who a Sadducee is you just remember that that word is sad, you see? These people are sad, you see? Because the Sadducees are sad people. They're serious people. So if you want to know what a Sadducee is, you know it is someone who is, well, they're pretty well off because they work for the big industry in town, the temple. They're mostly priests. And as priests, then they make a lot. And as priests, they also see themselves as some people even today see themselves as men of God or some such thing. So therefore, they were a little bit better than. They were a little bit holier than, a little bit more religious than the average person, especially Pharisees. Those were the commoners. Those were the people that didn't have any money. The scribes, some, either way. But the temple was their industry, and the Sadducees this. And the Sadducees rejected all the rabbinic teachings, except for one. The Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. Those were the only words they accepted as anything legitimate about the church of their day. So the Sadducees, they, because of their obstinance or what, it's pretty interesting because they didn't believe in much of anything. They had good jobs in the church, the temple, but they didn't worry about believing. They believed in no resurrection of the dead. They believed in no life beyond this life. They believed in no heaven, no hell. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything like that. They were almost like, in a way, secular church people. Go through the motions, and that's about it, but there's nothing more after this. And so that's where the phrase sad, you see, it's just really sad. And these were sad people. I was reading a few things about them. The deals that they got, well, there was nothing beyond the everyday life. There was nothing to look forward to. It's kind of like listening to Peggy Lee's song back when we were a lot younger. Most of us kids, you don't even know who that is. But I remember it was a song that was a big hit on the radio that drove me nuts. I was old enough to know that. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? And then it goes on to these things in life, like the circus is coming into town. And then she goes, oh, is that all there is? That was a Sadducee. Because there was nothing more to this life when it ended. That's it. It's gone. So there wasn't a lot of bright outlook for anything in life. There wasn't any real victory there, except just to keep the family going in these days, and maybe you'll have somebody to take your place, and that's about it. Now, lest we start making Sadducees simply a religious party then, it was people and those in the church that were caught up in the everyday nowness of life. So I'm going to say that there's a lot of Sadducee in all of us. When everything in life is all about getting everything done now, when everything in life is about making enough in this life before I die, you only go around once and then it's over and whatever else the rest. And so just getting caught up in everyday life, well, that could be a mom and a dad. That could be, well, that could be anybody working for the company. That could be anybody getting a paycheck. Just when is it going to be over? But we got it good. It could be like anybody that's apathetic. By the way, they questioned authority. They challenged authority. They didn't like authority. That reminds me of a lot of people that we've met over the years, ourselves included. Who are they to tell us this? So they would be the skeptics. They would be all of this. They would be the ones challenging their teachers. So that's why we want to notice in this first verse, there were some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked Jesus a question. This means it's going to be, we're going to get them. We're going to get them. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise a offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. So here's the question. Here's the gotcha. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife. Now, what we don't often hear is, like, we think this is a legitimate question. It wasn't legitimate. They didn't believe a bit of this afterlife stuff. And yet they knew that Jesus stood for life beyond just these days. And so it was a trick question. It was, if you will, in the words that I had written in my notes, sophomoric. We're going to get them today. We're going to trick them. This is going to be great because it's in Jerusalem. It's after he's ridden in triumphant. And we are, after all, the people that know a lot more than all the rest of the people. So here is our question. So they give a sophomoric question, and Jesus gave them an answer that deserved a sophomoric answer, but a true answer nevertheless. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. He blew them off. You ask a stupid question like that and you're going to get a straightforward answer. This is a different age and a different era than is the era of eternal life beyond this age. So don't get into all this marriage and brides and celestial stuff. Oh, like we've heard that, haven't we? Wow, interesting. But that's not the end of it. So he blows them off. Sophomoric question, sophomoric answer. Here it is. There's the answer. Catechism, it's like you're in class. The catechism says, so get it right, now say it. All right. But, he continues, and this is where you get a taste of Jesus, because he's not into going, got you back. We'll show these bunch of twerps, jerks. Jesus continues in this way. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Moses said, well, that's the only thing they believed in was Moses. And he actually gives them a beautiful, thoughtful answer that they were not expecting. Moses, in that passage, it says, I like that, because you didn't have Exodus 3 spelled out in the Bibles in those days. There weren't Bibles in those days, there were scrolls. But in that passage of the burning bush, the bush, it says, did not Moses say, or did not the Lord tell Moses who he was? The Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, all dead men, but alive with this Lord, because this is their Lord, and this Lord is about the living, not the dead. If you're in the Lord's kingdom, if you're in the Lord's fellowship, you're alive. You're not dead. You're not, well, used to be somebody named you. But these are still living beings there with Jesus. And we would know that because, you know, remember Jesus was transfigured. Peter, James, and John up on the high mountain transfiguration, and there with Jesus, conversing with him. Live people converse. Live people have conversations. Live people have language. There were Moses and Elijah in conversation with him. What a concept. What an answer. And yet what was happening in Exodus 3 with the burning bush, and that is very simple, that I am who I am, my name is Yahweh. Moses says, well, who am I going to say sends me to take your people out? Moses is out in the Midian desert at this point, and he's in the front of the burning bush. And so God said to Moses, I am who I am in Exodus, and he said in that passage about the burning bush. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, that would be Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered through all generations. You're going to hear the word remembered today from the lips of Jesus. You're going to hear it at the supper of his body and blood, that we do this in remembrance of bringing this forward to you, not just as a faint memory somewhere, but as a real living presence of life here to be celebrated, embraced. That's his conversation in front of the bush. And what became of Moses that day was he became a prophet. Pastor Graff was really big on this before he left for a long vacation. I guess he's not coming back. I'm just curious who parked in his place, if anybody did. But as we know, Moses was set aside to be prophet. is one who made intercession on behalf of the people, reminding God of what he had promised according to his name and according to his word. In spite of the fact that the Lord was mad at these stiff-necked people after he had brought them out of Egypt, and they rebelled, they built a golden calf, and who is it that stands before the Lord on the behalf of the people but the prophet that took on Yahweh because of his promise and because of his name? And we find there that Yahweh is not one who leaves his name just to let it float in the wind, but he stands by his name. And because of that, it says in the scripture, he relented in our English, but we know because we've been to Bible class, that is the word for Yahweh repented of the evil that he had intended upon the people. Why? Because the prophet stood in front of him and reminded him of his promise with his name and his word. And so what happened? Because of the intercession, for the name to be given, and the name brought intercession and forgiveness of sins, of stiff-neckedness, of everything that was dead in life. All of this here. Now, if you're a Sadducee and hearing that, you're kind of shocked because you're getting your own scriptures used to demonstrate to you that you have more hope in this life than you bargained for. You see, he didn't go after the Sadducees in any way except by the word of God. Like I say, if I would have been drawn down, I would have showed him. No. He gives them straight a word of God that confronts them in their death and dying and everything's dead and just going nowhere. He confronts them to say that if you are with this Lord, you're with the living. Now, it is no accident this is on Holy Week. The Sadducees were well placed in society. They knew what was going on. I will guarantee you they knew that this was Jesus' final week, or final days anyway. They knew the talk that was in the Sanhedrin, the council of rulers, of what was about to take place. They knew that they were hearing these words from the lips of one who was standing before them as one who had a death sentence on him, and certainly and surely it would be affected this time. He's not walking out alive. And yet here he is giving them the word of Moses, to let them know, as he stands there, he is of the living. And so it's an interesting little note that Luke gives here at the very end of this. Then some of the scribes answered. Scribes, some of them were also Sadducees, perhaps. But some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. What can you speak to the living God who is standing before you, not simply as a prophet like Moses who never had to die, but as the one who is facing certain death, and tell you that there's no death with Yahweh, only life and only resurrection from the dead? He's a prophet, but he's more than Moses, because he himself stands as the one to intercede and to take the place of and to make the sacrifice of his own flesh and blood for the forgiveness of sins and for the resurrection from this death into life everlasting. And he's the one that you and I know in the church of his that he has given us on this All Saints Day, All Saints Week, in this church to speak of the saints who are living. And we are among the living ones here. And we commemorate those who have gone before us and are already at peace in the living world and universe of eternal heavenly bliss and glory. And it's nothing to be sad about. It's nothing to be preoccupied with our own things we got to get done this week. It's something to stop and pause and go, look what this Lord God Almighty has given to you and to me. He's not sent us out just as... give us to be walking with those that are playing like zombies and having little seances with the dead people. He gives to us as those that are living in the midst of this world of death. So here we come to his altar today to receive again the familiar words that he gives to us into our lives. my body, my blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And as Luther says, when sins are forgiven, there is life and salvation. There is deliverance from all things of death and the devil. He has given his holy angels charge over you to protect you, to bless and keep you in his care. That's why we say in the communion liturgy, therefore, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we say that not as Sadducees, to be certain, because we're not sad about this, you see. We are thankful that in spite of what this life may try to convince us of, we have a Lord who's given us his word, just as he gave his abiding, living word to these Sadducees that day, and they were speechless. I dare say when events unfolded that week, that not a few of them went, oh my, what do you mean he's risen from the dead? But he is, and we too, by his name, are risen from the dead. A blessed All Saints to you, to your loved ones, as you rejoice in those who have preceded you to their eternal heavenly kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, amen. We kneel for